I want to finish what I started back in the summer, and that's a series on grace. This is the last word on grace, not my last word, not God's last word. So I'm just going to ask you to turn briefly to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, and my text is from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, but I'll just read my text for this morning. My text is verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, or as the King James translation says, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In his great work in The Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare is responsible for these words. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven, an earthly power doth them show, an earthly powers doth then show likest gods, when mercy seasons justice. If I may paraphrase Shakespeare's word, and who am I to try that? But I would simply want to say, the quality of grace is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven, and earthly powers that doth then show likest gods, when grace seasons justice. This is what St. Paul was doing when he wrote to the Corinthian church. If you read the story of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you will soon realize that the Apostle Paul had one of the most difficult relationships with this church which he founded. If you read the book, you will find him talking about tears. You will hear him talking about difficult situations in which he found himself. And he comes to the end of the book. And as he comes to the end of the book, he leaves them with this word as if he's looking back and he's saying, as you go forward, the text stands between the past and the future of the church. And for the next few moments, I want to deal with the three things that Paul says the church should have to make it distinct as a church. If the church is going to be distinct, the church must be on a mission of grace. If the church is to be distinct, the church must be on a mission of grace. Listen to how he puts it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when we talk of grace as coming from God. And it is true. But St. Paul had a particular reason why he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He wanted the church to experience something of that tremendous word we call grace, that is found especially in the letters of St. Paul. Where does grace come from? The apostle suggests that grace comes from God. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he says this, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we might become the riches of God in Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, as far as Christ is concerned, is the ability to give up all his rights in glory and come to earth to surrender those rights in order that he might do something for someone else to enrich, to invigorate, and to give a new sense of meaning to life for them. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is willing to do for others sometimes that which it will not do for itself. Grace will make sacrifice for others when sometimes it will not make it for itself. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is always for the sake of others. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is willing to make any sacrifice for the benefit of its object. He is the source of grace. And Paul wanted the church at Corinth to know this. that if a church is to be distinct, it must have as its source a divine source. The church is not made up only of people who want to do their thing. It is made up of people who have been divinely affected by the grace of God, and now they want to display that grace to God. Paul's prayer for the church is that that church might be a church that is on a mission of grace. This was true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on a mission of grace. Everything he did showed that mission. I am always impressed with the story of the Baptist minister. And that's where I heard the story. Everything for him, he had to talk about baptism. It didn't matter what. He's speaking on Genesis. He's speaking on Paul, on Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Adam, how did you get there? And finally, there'd be a word on baptism. Well, I think that Paul is saying this, that no matter what you're doing, there must always be that grace of God that accompanies everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, everything you act out. There should always be that word of grace. Paul is saying, I want the grace of the Lord Jesus to always be flowing through your veins so that as you relate to one another, it will be with the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of the grace of the church. The ministry that is on a mission of grace finds its source in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says something else. He said there is a significance to grace. Not only do we know the source of grace, but there is a significance to grace. There is a reason for it. There's a reason for his prayer, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, Peter writes these words, that God is the God of all grace. You know what that means, friends? That there isn't one earthly experience that God does not have the grace sufficient to meet. No matter what the experience might be, grace answers to sin in my life. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Grace does not give me license to sin. It gives me the ability to overcome sin. So grace answers to sin in my life. Grace answers to my frustrations in life. Grace is sufficient for the pains of life, no matter what it is. He is the God of all grace. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter how much. It doesn't matter how deep. He is the God of all grace, and that's why grace is so significant. It is significant, my friends, because without the grace of God, a ministry simply becomes a social club. It is one power struggle over another. Me wanting, you wanting, I wanting. We heard about it this morning in Sunday school about the big I. Someone said, when you want to think of I, remember that I is right in the middle of the word sin. And only grace answers to that. Secondly, the church that will be distinct must be a ministry motivated by love. The love of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Without the love of God, no church will survive. Time will not permit me. But I want to just relate to you a wonderful story I came across about Henry Nguyen. Some of you might know who Dr. Nguyen is. Dr. Nguyen was a professor at Harvard University. Brilliant, brilliant mind. He gave up that practice to move to Daybreak outside Toronto. He spent, in fact, the rest of his life there. The reason he gave up this privilege at Harvard was to become the friend of Adam, a 25-year-old man. I want to relate to you what Adam was like. Adam could not speak, could not dress himself, could not walk alone, could not eat alone. He doesn't cry. He doesn't laugh. On occasions, he would grunt. He suffers from epilepsy. I think Dr. Nguyen said in the time that he took care of him, only once did he see a tear trickling down his cheek. He suffers from epilepsy, and very few days go by within a year that he doesn't have seizures, great, great epileptic seizures. It takes me, says Dr. Nguyen, 1.5 hours to wake him up. When I read it, I thought, what's new? This is a different kind of wake up. I told my son, I'm waiting for someone to invent an alarm bed. So that whenever the alarm goes off, it just throws him right out. Reasoning will not work. Tried for 25 years with one. No, for 20 years with one. I've given that responsibility to James now. 1.5 hours to wake him up, to give him his medication, to carry him into his bath. To shave him, to clean his teeth, to dress him, to walk him to the kitchen, give him his breakfast, take him to his wheelchair, and then to the place where he spends the rest of the day in therapeutic exercises. When asked, why have you given up your job, your responsibility, where you could be speaking to some of the most brilliant minds at Harvard to come and do this? Dr. Nguyen said, I haven't given up anything. It is I, not Adam, who is benefiting from this relationship. What makes us human, says Dr. Nguyen, is not our minds, but our hearts. Not our ability to think, but our ability to love. The love of God. When the love of God is prevalent in a ministry, my friends, two things will take place. Listen to the Old Testament. Proverbs 17:17. A brother loves at all times. At all times. And a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversities. The word born means to come to a time, to be there at that moment, to love someone through the adversities. And that word adversity has the meaning of being in anguish, being in distress, suffering troubles, going through afflictions. A brother loves at all times. That's the love of God. That's why I had 1 Corinthians read this morning. The love of God that can give up not only what it has, but who it is for the benefit of others. Love. Love covers a multitude of sins, says Proverbs 10 and 12. Says 1 Peter 4 and 8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Dr. Nguyen covered the physical maladies of Adam, so that when he went through all those things with him, he saw not a man with physical maladies, he saw a man that needed his love. And he covered his love. He covered his maladies. All the things he had to do, he covered it with his love. Love does not overlook sin. It helps people through it. That is why Jesus, when he was with the woman who was caught in adultery, he covered her sin with his love and released her to be released from that kind of a life. Love covers a multitude of sins. Listen to what St. Paul says. There abide three things, faith and hope and love. But the one thing that will never fail us is love. The one thing that will never fail us is love. And so a ministry that will be distinct will be a ministry that is motivated by love. And then, lastly, ministry will be distinct is a ministry that is directed by the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the what of our ministry. What supports our ministry? Grace does. The love of God is the why of our ministry, the motivation for our ministry. The communion of the Holy Spirit is the who of our ministry. And in this one little verse, we have the what of a ministry that makes it distinct. We have the why of a ministry that makes it distinct. And we have the who of a ministry, the Holy Spirit. Very briefly, I say this of the Spirit of God. The church that is distinct by the ministry and mystery of the Holy Spirit is a church that enjoys His presence. I want to read for you very quickly. John 14, You don't need to turn there, 15 to 17. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. That word comfort is a very interesting word, because in the Latin, that word, comforter, means someone who strengthens. In the Greek, it is the idea of someone who comes close by. But it is not simply a bystander, it is someone who comes close by to strengthen. The presence of the Holy Spirit strengthens the heart. It deals with anything that is not right before God. It convicts of sin. It calls the believer, it calls the church to be pure. It calls the church, it fills the church with the knowledge of the Holy, for only through His ministry can we know God. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter. Now listen to what He continues to say. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot know. Where there is a mystery of the Spirit in the church, my friends, we become distinct in the world because the world does not know the Holy Spirit who actually lives in the body. That is important. Very important. He is with us. Listen to what Paul, what the Lord Jesus said. He's not only with us, He is in us. The Holy Spirit is present in the believer. And His presence in the believer gives the church a distinctness so that it is guided from above and it works out its love. It works out the grace of God through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit so that when no one will understand what the church is all about, God looks at it and He says, just as I designed it. The Spirit of God present in the church. He was there, my friends, in the beginning. That is what made the difference. Not only the presence of the Spirit, but the product of the Spirit. And I close with these things. Four things happens when the Spirit is present. That is His product. One, Acts chapter 1 verse 2. He is the chief administrator of the church. Acts chapter 1 verse 2. Jesus directed the disciples as He directed them in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. He is the authority in the church. Acts 2 and 4. He filled them so that He might use them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. He is the chief instructor in the church. He teaches us about God. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 25. He is the life of the church. These are the fruit of the Spirit. The mystery of the Spirit. How could Dr. Nguyen give up his privileged and prestigious position at Harvard to come to a place called Daybreak in Toronto to sit with a man who could give him absolutely nothing back except to teach him about the love of God? And most of his books are written from that experience. It is only one thing, friends. One thing. The Holy Spirit that filled him with the love of God so that he could actually be gracious to someone who could give him in his spirit what he could never learn apart from that. A church that will be distinct is a church, my friends, that is on a mission of grace with one another and the world, motivated by love and in the mystery of the Holy Spirit. May God make us distinct as we begin a new year at the table this morning. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that these brief words given will prepare us for the table so that when we come to the table, as we sang this morning in Sunday school. So let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Amen.